Hello, everyone. Welcome to our The Week That Was in Europe podcast. My name is Dirk Schumacher. I'm the head of European macro research at Natixis. And with me, as usual, is Klaus Adam, professor of economics at the University of Mannheim.
Hello, also from my side. So today we would like to talk about the European money market. That is the market for short-dated debt, roughly everything with a maturity up to about 1 year. In particular, we'd like to discuss how banks manage their short-term liquidity portfolio in this market segment. And for this, we have with us today Olivier Hubert as a special guest. So Olivier is global head of short-term treasury of Groupe BPCE, one of the largest banking groups in France, and Natixis is also part of this group. So welcome very much to the podcast, Olivier.
Hello, Dirk. Hello, Klaus. Thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, it's great. We are looking forward to the conversation. So, Olivier, your job is to manage the liquidity of Groupe BPCE, and as such, you have to ensure that the bank is able to make all its payments always on time. So, what is it that you do to make that happen? What sort of activities does this involve?
Well, the purpose of our job is to make sure, as you said, that we can make all payments that we have to every day. And for this, on one side, we have to measure all the needs of the group. So on one side, we will have some retail networks and we will need to provide them maybe the mismatch of liquidity they need when they have. On the other hand, we have mainly Natixis as an investment bank, which has also some deposits from large corporates, but is mainly an investment bank and a financing bank. So by nature, you have here a liquidity mismatch. So at first, we try to measure the needs. And then with the asset and liability management, we will design a funding plan with a large part of medium long-term funding, mainly through long-term issuances or cover bonds. And another part, which is going to be short-term liquidity. And here, you want to you have a sort of risk appetite of the bank that you want to manage, where the transformation that is allowed on the liquidity gap is going to get smaller and smaller when you come close to day zero. Now, the regulation, maybe we'll talk about it later, but the regulation makes that at one point you have excess liquidity. You have also to manage this excess liquidity through central bank reserves or by buying high quality assets that are liquid enough to provide liquidity whenever you need it. So that's I would say a global management of the liquidity, and our main tools are what we call strict money market, so borrowing and lending unsecured money, and short-term issuances, so several commercial papers programs that we can activate in different jurisdictions and sell them to investors.
So in the banking sector, regulation obviously plays a significant role, and that's particularly true, I guess, on your side of the business. So what role does regulation play in your job? How do you have to, how does it shape what you do? And how has regulation changed over the years, in particular since the great financial crisis 2008-09?
Well, so I would say that our job is mainly to respond to regulation. After the crisis, the Basel III introduced not only new capital requirements, but also liquidity requirements. So the two main tools are the LCR, liquidity coverage ratio, which is a sort of stress test on your liquidity on a 1 month horizon, and you want to make sure that you can resist some unexpected outflows on a 1 month period. And you also have the what is called the NSFR, so the net stable funding ratio, which is on the 1 year spot. And here also you need this ratio to make sure that you have when you enter in the money market space, so 1 year and below, you also have enough liquidity. So all this regulation is partly a stress, but also gives a different value to different type of liquidity. So globally, if your customer or if the stakeholder who provides you liquidity is far from financial market, it will be better valued than if it's someone who is very active in the financial market. So regulator will consider that someone which is in financial market is going to be much more reactive to any stress, and that he might withdraw liquidity or might stop investing very quickly, while maybe retail banking or small businesses are going to be more sticky. So in the calculation of these ratios, the value of these different type of liquidity is going to be different. Facing you, you have investors. A large part of the cash provided in the money market area is coming from money market funds. So funds that are managing short-term liquidity, they have a lot of different clients. It can be large corporates, small corporates, retail. They also had a regulation after the crisis. They need to have buffer, short-term buffer on 0 day, on 1 day, on 7 days. So they also have constraints on their side. And you have to manage your own constraints and try to fit with the constraints of the investors on the other side. On top of this, you have what is called the leverage ratio in the capital requirement, where for any asset and excess reserves or excess liquidity you have is going to be an asset, because you are going to park it at the end at your central bank, and it's an asset as any other asset, and you need capital just on the size of your balance sheet. And you also need capital for the single resolution fund, which is a fund to, in case of bankruptcy in the system, to be able to, I would say, to reimburse retail cash management or investors. So you want to have just the balance sheet you need, and you don't want to have too much excess, because then it's going to be at cost for you. So what you do is really trying to adjust your balance sheet as close as possible to your needs. Use the weighting in the liquidity coverage ratio, for example, or NSFR, or net stable funding ratio, to optimize the size of your balance sheet and your regulatory liquidity needs. So globally, it's all about regulation, and the regulation is just totally driving what we do on a daily basis. So we really won't give the same value to different type of liquidity. And at the end, it also means that you can have different pricing for different type of investors, and you can tweak your pricing with the regulatory effect of the liquidity in your balance sheet.
That's quite interesting. So a euro borrowed from a money market participant is less valuable than a euro borrowed from someone that is far away from these markets, at least from a regulatory perspective.
Exactly, because the experience is not maybe we will talk about the recent turmoil in the banking system, but it's not always relevant in reality.
That's right. So the ECB started now recently withdrawing liquidity from the market through ending partly the long-term refinancing operations, but also by not fully reinvesting some of their maturing bonds. Nevertheless, there is still a lot of excess reserves in the system today, certainly much more than before the financial crisis in 2007-8. Would you say that the risk of a liquidity crisis in the banking system is, as a result of these excess reserves, lower today, or doesn't that make a big difference?
Yes, certainly. I would say it's much smaller than it was 15 years ago. Banks, well, through this liquidity coverage ratio and the stress that are encompassed in the calculation, you're supposed to resist to some shocks. So I guess that in the banking system now, the time needed for a bank to be unable to pay what is due on a day that is close to today is quite small. And even if we have less excess liquidity in the system, it will take time for this excess liquidity to come to a point where the system will be more balanced, I would say, and where you could be at risk in the system globally. The TLTRO is going to be reimbursed totally at the end of 2024, and even if the quantitative tightening was totally done at the end of 2024, which we would still have roughly 2,000 billion euros excess in the system, which looks more than necessary for the rates to really move from the deposit facility today. So I guess that in the next 2 years, the rate should still be pretty much anchored to the deposit facility rate.
Right. So, but then we have seen tensions recently in the euro area banking sector, or I should say perhaps in the European banking sector predominantly, but also some spillovers to the euro area. So is this new regulatory environment working when it comes to money markets? Have there been new fault lines, or have you seen any stress in the funding situations of banks as a result of the Credit Suisse and SVB bankruptcies, basically?
I did not notice any stress in the European banking system. I think in the US, the situation was a bit different because what is at stake? We are talking about banks which were subject to less regulation than the framework we have in Europe since, I think, 2018 or something like that. I think for banks with less than $250 billion balance sheet, some of the requirements were suppressed. If I can say so. Credit Suisse, I guess, is more a question of trust at one point. And this is maybe where the regulation maybe is a bit funny, because in my mind now the danger for a bank is a bank run. And the bank run will come from the cash management more than anything else, like we had with Northern Rock, I think it was in 2007, where people on the retail or small businesses are not confident anymore, and they want to withdraw their liquidity. And in the regulatory framework today, this is the liquidity that has more value. And the experience we had in the last year, in the last years, is that this is the legality that provides problems. So I think that if we talk about financial market, I don't see. I think the framework is valuable and works pretty well, and that the danger at the end is really a question of trust and confidence, and we see it nearly each time coming from a bank run, so really like customers who wants to withdraw their money from their account more than investors that suddenly stop investing with you. Because if investors stop investing, I would say you have time. When you have cash coming from retail customers, the outflow in the LCR, in the liquidity coverage ratio, is 5%. So it's very much valued in your liquidity ratio. But if this money goes out, this is where you lose more. And but in any case, I don't think we saw that in the European banking sector during the months of March. And even with Credit Suisse, then the topic is not that the topic is that maybe you have some deals with Credit Suisse. No one knows if you are engaged with Credit Suisse and if you are at risk. But the fact that the authority were quite reactive meant that the situation was handled quickly. And public authorities also gained experience on their side, and the way to react on their side is maybe much better than 15 years ago.
Let's stick with the ECB and the role it plays in the money market, say beyond QE, QT, and long-term refinancing operations, but the pure, if you will, liquidity management. So before 2008, the ECB would announce an amount of central bank reserves, and then banks would bid for this amount. But starting in 2008, I think, the ECB moved to so-called full allotment, which means it would allocate against collateral as much liquidity as banks would demand at the prevailing policy rate. And this means there's no real price discovery anymore in the money market, at least to the extent these funds get intermediated by the ECB. So the ECB is also now revisiting its operational framework in the context, I guess, of all that. Do you think that this full allotment regime is a problem for the money market? And do you believe that we ever will go back to a system with full allotment?
Well, I do not think that this is the full
allotment. Oh, sorry, without, I phrased the question wrong, a system without full allotment, sorry.
Yeah. No, I don't think the full allotment itself is a problem for money market. I think that the cost of lending cash for a bank is a problem. So I think it's more a problem of capital cost than a problem of full allotment or not. Obviously, as you said, the full allotment, if you have collateral, you can get as much liquidity as you wish. And this is also one of the reasons why the fact that the TLTRO are repaid is not such an issue, because you get less liquidity, but you have your collateral back. And with your collateral, you can go to other monetary policy operations and get liquidity, maybe at cost, but at least you know that you can get liquidity. The cost of money market in terms of capital makes that to pay the capital cost, you would have to lend money to banks at a very expensive price with very high margins. To be able to pay your capital. So I don't see the full allotment itself as an issue. I think regulation, the regulatory framework altogether is an issue. Now, I think it's very difficult to assess the needs of excess reserves in the system. Actually, we never experienced the new regulation and the new liquidity regulatory framework without full allotment. So we know that rates are not really moving when you're with maybe 1,000 billion euro excess, or maybe a touch lower. But it's not because you will come back to the former regime with auctions and liquidity that people will lend to each other. Because it's just because they cannot afford it in terms of capital. So today, people providing liquidity are not the same than people borrowing liquidity in the money market. So on one side, you have banks that are roughly all borrowing liquidity, and you have asset managers, maybe insurance companies, or maybe corporate treasurers who are going to place their liquidity. So the money market, now it's not really anymore a straight interbank market as it was in the 90s or 80s, 90s, or in the beginning of, or until the crisis, but it's really a market where each stakeholder has its role, and people are just trying to match their interests, which are different. But the liquidity itself is more in the asset management space, or the excess of liquidity is more in the asset management space than in banks. Banks, because of the cost of capital, try to get the liquidity they need and nothing else.
Right.
So, I guess it's going to be very, very difficult to know in this new regulatory framework what is the right amount of liquidity to provide for the central bank to the system to make sure that you don't have any shock and you don't jeopardize financial stability.
Yeah, you said that despite the quantitative targeting, there's still a lot of excess liquidity and will take quite a lot of time to get to a situation where the withdrawal of liquidity would become a problem. But if you had to point to, say, corners of the market where problems would surface first, if there was too little liquidity, where would you expect them to emerge? What would the ECB have to watch in order to understand that it's getting close to the territory where it's providing insufficient liquidity?
I think that the first thing that ECB might see is the usage of its operational framework, like the usage of marginal lending facility, for example, or some very high volatility on very short-term rates. And this is something that ECB is monitoring at any time. But we will first see it on short dates. And especially when you come, which was the case before the crisis, when you were at the end of the reserve maintenance period, you could have rates going up 1% because the corridor at this time was 1% of each side of the central bank rate. So it could go up 1%, down 1% if there was too much liquidity. And even in this environment, it was very difficult for ECB to assess the right amount of liquidity to provide to the market. And so I guess to be able to do that in a new environment, regulatory environment, it's going to take time. So it's an open question for the European Central Bank. Should it stay on a floor system with too much liquidity in the system and rates on guard on the deposit facility rate, so the bottom of its monetary policy corridor, or should they go back to the corridor system? But I think the exercise might be very difficult to do and take a long time, with some risk actually, because if you don't provide the right amount of liquidity, it does not work.
Yeah, I never understood, even in the old times, how you can come to the idea to control both the price and the quantity, because it requires a lot of information about demand, which is basically not always easy to get, especially now with the new sort of situation.
Exactly.
So ECB, but also the Federal Reserve, have surprised markets, I guess, with record fast increases in short-term policy rates over the last year or so. How do these surprises affect your job as a money manager? And in particular, how would you value the higher degree of predictability in terms of policy rate setting, say, relative to what the ECB calls a data-dependent approach? How important is it for you to roughly know where policy rates are going in doing your job?
I would say that what we call forward guidance and the capacity for central banks to provide guidance on the path of their interest rate policy is something a bit new. We used to live without that, and we could do it. Obviously, it's more comfort to have some forward guidance. On the other end, it's very difficult for central banks to provide forward guidance when you have some systemic or external shocks, and obviously they have to react. On the other end, liquidity management today, even if it's a financial market activity, in most banks, treasury is not in the capital market activity, it's in finance. Your first role is to secure the bank, to make sure that you have enough liquidity. And maybe sometimes you will lose money to secure the bank. So you have all tools to hedge your book and to be able to protect yourselves if you don't have any forward guidance. Maybe you will have less risk in your books, you will have more swaps or interest rate derivatives to offset your interest rate risk. And this is your first duty, is to make sure that you have the liquidity and that you do not put the bank at risk. So I would say that in any case, we have tools to hedge ourselves. So if we are very confident with the forward guidance, maybe we will have a bit less hedge in our books. If we consider that the market is more volatile or we have more risk of shocks or surprise on data, on data like in what we have with inflation for now 2 years, we have all tools to hedge this risk. So I would say we lived for ages without forward guidance. Now we are back to something that we used to live with. I think it's not such an issue. It's maybe more an issue for the way you want to manage your long-term funding, the way you want to manage long-term issuances, and your anticipation of economic cycles and these sort of topics. But I would say that for money market itself and for short-term liquidity, you have tools to hedge. What is important is the liquidity itself and is the confidence the market has in your name.
Okay, so that's quite interesting. So from a money market perspective, not too important, the forward guidance. Now, you mentioned the macro outlook. That looked looks at the moment a little bit uncertain. Some observers are expecting a downturn, especially in the United States, but perhaps also in Europe. And I wonder, how does your liquidity management respond to the economic cycle? Does the cycle play a big role, or is it a sideshow to what you're doing?
Well, it goes a little bit with the previous question, because usually it's linked, and the moves in interest rates might have play a big role in the economic cycle. It's important in the way you want to manage your medium long term liquidity, for sure. Liquidity today in most banks is part of the of your business plan. So you have some business plans that are made in several years. They are reviewed maybe every year, maybe more often. So the needs for liquidity is part of your budget, the same way than what is your budget plan, what is your RWA consumptions, what is your capital consumptions. So liquidity now is totally included in all the plans, the medium long term plans of the bank. You have some revision if the environment changed. So it plays, I think, a big role in the way you want to manage your medium long term issuances. It can also provide liquidity, provide opportunity to raise liquidity in advance, for example, because at one point the cycle is down. Interest rate gets lower, maybe you have more liquidity in the market and you want to take more liquidity in advance. So it's mainly on this part that you're really going to work on the economic cycle. It also can have some impact on the short term, because in the short term it might trigger some asset reallocation. And you might have some liquidity going out of the equity space to come to the fixed income space, from long-term fixed income to short-term fixed income. And all this asset reallocation is part of your life. and you have to know where the money is and where you have to find it. Can you find a lot of insecure liquidity? Is the market easier on secured funding, unsecured funding, short term, long term? And then the interest rate level itself and the economic cycle will play a role on this. And so you want to know how the money moves. On which asset it goes, and where you can find liquidity, because it's not always at the same place. But with interest rates going up, the money market funds becomes more attractive with less risk than equity, for example, and then you see a lot of liquidity moving in the money market fund space, and these money market funds are going to look for short-term assets and provide liquidity to the money market space, to banks in the money market space. So high interest rates can be good for a treasury.
Very good. So I'll try a short summary of all what you said in there. There was a lot, of course. So how to manage liquidity. It starts with knowing what the liquidity needs are, your case for the whole group. And then you design a funding plan, and there you have to decide how much is going to be long-term and short-term liquidity, which would then be your remit. So there are many tools which you can apply for that, but the main tool is then, for example, commercial papers. So it sounds very much like a multifaceted task, not surprisingly. Regulation, the role it plays, you said quite clearly your job is these days to respond to regulation, that it plays a dominant role, how you manage the liquidity, stress testing liquidity. That is how the new regulation came about, and you think it has come, but the system now is much more resilient on the back of all that. ECB withdrawing liquidity, the crisis of the risk of a liquidity crisis is much lower now, not least because there's still a lot of excess reserves in the system, and that will take time to unwind in any case. You also think that the way the regulation, all that is done in Europe, is such that, again, the liquidity risks are on average lower. Then on the other side of the Atlantic, full allotment, i.e. the fact that the ECB provides liquidity as much as bank wants against collateral, of course. You think that will stay with us for some time, not least it's quite difficult to go back to the old system in the new regulatory framework, which makes it so much harder to know what is the amount of liquidity actually needed. Knowing that, and that would be a prerequisite for the ECB to switch back to the old system, that it would know in advance what's the liquidity need of the banking system. And again, that's a lot more difficult at this point. What should the ECB watch at in order to assess whether there's a liquidity problem brewing or not? You said short-term, well, volatility of short-term rates would be one important indicator the ECB is watching, of course. The forward guidance, how important is it? You've been around for quite some time and said you well remember the times without forward guidance that worked too. It makes things maybe a bit easier, but in the end, it's not that important. And the cycle and the level of interest rates, there are obviously many moving parts, and the difference or how the money flows from one asset class to the other across the cycle and with higher rates, that is important. But all manageable. It's at least sounded that way to me. Was that a fair summary?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. So regulation is really the central bank and a central point. And the regulation of the investor is something that you need to know and you need to watch anytime also.
Well, then. Thanks again, Olivier, for your time today talking to us. It was very interesting. I'm sure our listeners learned a lot.
Thank you, dear. Thank you, Klaus. Bye-bye.